Good morning. It's 11 minutes before 8 o'clock. It's Tuesday, March the 19th. You're listening to KCAW Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Federal spending cutbacks, known as sequestration, will have less of an impact on the Coast Guard in Alaska than they will elsewhere in the country. That's the word from Rear Admiral Thomas Ostebo, who is in charge of the Coast Guard's District 17, which encompasses all of Alaska. Ostebo made the remarks at an award ceremony Friday at Air Station Sitka. He says the Coast Guard is in high demand as activity picks up in Alaska, especially with offshore oil development.
All of that is Coast Guard activity. All of that is more marine trade. All of that is more marine environmental responsibility work for the Coast Guard. It's going to require the Coast Guard and Coast Guard aviation assets to have a presence up on the North Slope, and Kodiak's making preparations to be up there. In a less capacity than we were last year, but more than we have been traditionally. So the point of it is Alaska is a great place for the Coast Guard. It's a place that we are continuously valued. I met with Lieutenant Governor Treadwell yesterday, and he's continuing to help from the state perspective to sing the praise of the Coast Guard and to get more resources up here for us so that we can do the things we need to do for this state. So it's a great time to be in the Coast Guard, and it's really, in particular, a great time to be up here in Alaska.
Ostebo says that's the good news. The bad news is that sequestration has created uncertainty in the budget. Tuition assistance for Coast Guard personnel is gone. Improvements for Coast Guard housing in Sitka are on hold. A request to add a fourth helicopter in Sitka will have to wait too. And Ostebo says there are other uncertainties.
We've got some icebreaker issues. We're supposed to have two icebreakers this summer up here. Both the Star and Healy were going to come up. Those, whether they show up or not, is now of great debate. Just fueling those ships is millions of dollars. You've got a 1.5 million gallons capable on Polar Star at $4 a gallon. Pretty expensive to fill it up. So we're trying to figure out how best to use that or whether we will use it at all this year in the Arctic.
Still, Ostebo says District 17 has paid some bills early and put itself in a pretty good place to weather budget cuts. He says the core missions of the Coast Guard, from rescues to navigational aid maintenance to safety vessel, will not change. Ostebo was in Sitka to present some awards to Coast Guard personnel and members of the public. Medals were given to Sitka resident Howard Merkel, as well as Sitka Mountain Rescue Captain Don Cluding, and team members Gerald Gangle and Tyler Orbison. On January 21st of 2012, Merkel launched his 27-foot boat into a winter storm to help a family stranded in Nakusina Sound. He and a crew member pinpointed the location of the family and guided the Coast Guard and Sitka Mountain Rescue to them. The Mountain Rescue team of Cluding, Gangle, and Orbison went in and got the family, then transferred them to the heated cabin of Merkel's boat, the Carpe Diem. Merkel said that the recognition from the Coast Guard meant a lot.
Well, I'm pretty honored. You know, I really didn't expect anything. I was doing anything that I would hope anybody would do for me in a time of need.
An award was also given to Rose McIntyre, who helped establish the Sitka Coast Guard Spouses and Women's Association. She's been responsible for tens of thousands of dollars in fundraising for the Coast Guard in Sitka. McIntyre said she's just trying to pay forward what was given to her.
When I first got into the Coast Guard, marrying my husband, that I had other women that welcomed me into the family, and I feel like I just want to continue that with new families, especially coming up to Sitka.
The Coast Guard also presented an award to Commander Ward Sandlin, the commanding officer at Air Station Sitka. It honors his work with the Coast Guard in Clearwater, Florida. That included the mobilization of Coast Guard rescue and relief efforts following the Haitian earthquake in January 2010. Construction is underway on the Blue Lake Dam expansion. The hydro project is one of two supplying power to Sitka. KCAW's Ed Ronco went along on the first public tour of the construction site and filed this report.
Four members of the public file onto two school buses outside Harrigan Centennial Hall. Sitting up front on bus number two is Mike White.
I just want to see the beginning, kind of the middle and the end. So it's kind of interesting to see this much equipment coming down and all the hoopla and see what it's all about.
White says he's watched from shore as pieces of equipment went floating past on barges, heading ultimately for the top of Blue Lake Road. And he's spent a lot of time near the dam itself.
I drive out there a couple times a week, and I usually take my dog for a walk out at the park area, industrial park area. And so I've watched this whole thing kind of stage up and the progression kind of increase.
We travel about 7 miles to the top of Blue Lake Road, and when the buses stop,
are we getting off?
Yep.
Okay.
The crowd gets off into a large, flat lot. At the far end sits an enormous crane, the largest working crane in Alaska, according to project managers. White walks to one side of the lot, leans back, and snaps a picture on his iPhone.
It's impressive. It's, you know, right here where this crane was, that was just a big knob of rock, and it's a lot of rock to move. And the crane alone is just so impressive that it's on tracks, that it's movable, you know, it's not a stationary type. Dang, that's a boom. I don't know how many feet that is, but it's a... I've seen each one of those sections go past my house.
As White and the others would learn on the tour, the crane's boom is 360 feet long. It's capable of lifting about 660 tons, although they won't need to use it for that much material. And the reason it's here is that it can reach all the way across the span of the Blue Lake Dam. Cliff Stump is the project manager for Barnard Construction, the contractor working on the dam.
We've got to set some equipment on the other side of the dam. There's about 1,500 yards of rock excavation on the other side of the dam before we can bring the concrete up. So that's the heaviest thing we've got to get all the way over there.
Once the concrete comes up, it will be added in steps until it is 8 feet wide and 83 feet above the current height of the dam. Members of the public had a lot of questions, including some coming from Sitka resident Alexandra Fujioka.
But what if fish come up the stream near the dam?
Oh, did we mention? She's 5.
The stream stops down here about a mile down the canyon. They can't quite make it up this far.
Okay.
Older members of the public had some questions, too, about the surrounding area, including what will happen to trees now standing in what will soon become part of the lake's bottom. Someone in the crowd noted that a lot of potential firewood would be underwater once Blue Lake rises.
Our intent originally was to remove the trees, but the...
But, says Utility Director Chris Bruton, the state's Department of Environmental Conservation, along with some engineering firms, said the trees should stay in place to avoid stirring up sediment. Blue Lake is Sitka's municipal drinking water source, and moving the trees could harm the water quality.
It would be wonderful to get the wood out to be used, but the risks are too great for us to take a chance with the water quality.
If something does go wrong with the water quality, like if it gets more turbid than it should be, Sitka could be required to build a new filtration plant, and that could cost millions of dollars. And while some trees could float to the surface, they'll be taken to an area at the other end of the lake, far away from where Sitka draws its water, and burned. Most of the tour was spent at the site of the crane. It was impossible to see the actual dam from that area, and the public was warned to stay back from the edges. In fact, officials would prefer the unaccompanied public keep its distance altogether. The work includes blasting, and participants in Sunday's tour were given a fact sheet that included a map with restricted areas outlined in red. They include Blue Lake Road, except for foot traffic, to the Heart Lake Trailhead, also the nearby campground, the powerhouse area, Sawmill Cove Industrial Park, and all of Blue Lake itself. The buses took a turn through the park and past the site of the new Blue Lake powerhouse, where water will flow through 3 turbines and generate more electricity for Sitka. Back at Centennial Hall, Alexandra Fujioka climbed off the bus with the help of her mom, Sarah. Did you learn a lot today?
Yeah.
What was the coolest thing you learned?
Why can we not visit the dam?
And what's the answer to that question?
It was too steep.
Too steep. Kind of dangerous.
Yeah.
Want to keep everybody safe.
Too steep for the workers.
Yeah.
Can the workers go through the into the...
More questions. Always more questions. She and others will have another opportunity to have them answered. Officials expect to lead a second tour in the not-too-distant future. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Both the Yakutat girls and boys basketball teams lost in the opening round of the state 1A tournament this past weekend and have dropped into the loser's bracket. The Lady Eagles went down to Nikolaevsk 47-24. And on the boys' side, the score was Lumi Christie Archangels outbounding the Eagles 52-39. There's more basketball action taking place. The Lady Eagles played Alec in the first round of the consolation bracket last night at West High School. The Yakutat boys' first round consolation game was against Scammon Bay. Links to those results are available on our website at kcaw.org. The 3A state basketball tournament featuring Sitka Lady Wolves and the Mount Edgecombe Braves opens Thursday in Anchorage's Sullivan Arena. For links to those games, box stores, and on-demand streaming, visit our website, kcaw.org. The Sitka games will also be broadcast locally over KIFW AM. The Alaska House has passed a resolution urging the federal government to protect the Second Amendment. SJR 6 from Senator Fred Dyson asks Congress to maintain its authority over the president to protect the Second Amendment. It also urges the president to, quote, refrain from any further efforts, end quote, to restrict firearm ownership. The original resolution referred to the Second Amendment as our most fundamental right, but was amended in the House on Friday to say the Second Amendment is one of our most fundamental rights. The Senate will be asked to concur in the change. Ed, court documents say a man accused of shooting a Walmart manager allegedly had two guns on him and shot the manager after getting in an argument about his service dog. The Anchorage Daily News says that 45-year-old Daniel Pertle told police he shot Mason Mahai because of an argument over his unleashed dog. Pertle is accused of shooting the manager and then trying to leave the store on his own motorized scooter. Pertle needs the scooter because his legs were removed as a result of diabetes. Roommate Susie Griffith told the Daily News her longtime friend liked to travel with his dog and the guns wherever he went. She says he was showing signs of instability but seemed to be adjusting to his situation. And at just about 30 seconds after the hour of 8 o'clock, that's Raven News for this hour. You're listening to KCAW Sitka, where we've got a balmy 32 degrees and another little snow shower taking place right now in downtown Sitka. About 1 mile of visibility this morning, winds east at 9 miles an hour, and we're expecting some snow showers today, scattered, mixing with rain by afternoon. So it's bound to get a little slippery out there. If it isn't already, be careful, watch for snow plows, and have a good morning.